excited about what I'm going to share today with you, because we're going to get into God's Word big time. And God's Word is the Word of truth. And we're going to look, as the song said, look what God has done. And everything that God has done that we can see in His Word, we can manifest. We can take it, apply it to our life, live it, and see the results, as we've heard from these various testimonies. So we're going to get, as the title says, look at some gems of truth in 1 Corinthians, the first two chapters. You know, when you teach God's Word, there's a couple ways you can do this. You can do a topical type teaching. You can take a subject like the love of God, the peace of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God. And then you can look up a bunch of scriptures to see on that subject what God has to say. Or you're going to go to the scriptures and read God's Word and then pick out the beautiful gems that touch your heart. Well, we're going to do a kind of a combo today, okay? We're going to read through two chapters, 1 Corinthians. There's some great truths in there. I'm going to highlight four of them. And there's other great insights that God reveals to us in this section of God's Word. So as we look at this, remember what we're doing here. This is not kindergarten. This is not like reading at the library a nice little book on mystery or whatever. This is the truth. This is what God has communicated to us that's right and proper for us to know. So we've got four subjects that we're going to look at. And there they are. Okay. So these four subjects were called of God and His family. What does that mean? What's the reality of being called to God's family? Then we're going to look at the significance of the crucifixion. I think we're going to see how big and powerful and important the crucifixion is to our redemption. And then we'll see the power of God revealed that we can tap into. And another subject that I think we kind of miss sometimes, we don't think about, and that's the wisdom of God. That we want to walk in God's power, but we want to walk in His wisdom too. God can reveal things to us that we need to know that will help us in our everyday life and help us in our testimony to others. So let's take a look here in 1 Corinthians. Please join me. And here, we got an extra Bible or two in the back if you want to look at the scriptures there. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul, verse 1, called to be an apostle. Here he was called to be what? An apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of Paul? Oh, the will of God. God called him. God had a desire to have a man of God. He called Paul. Just like you'll see, he calls us to his family. And he did it through the will of God and Sophanes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. So this is a letter. It's written to the Corinthians. It's addressed to them. You know, certain sections of the Bible are not addressed to us. Sometimes people take the scriptures and say, this is all for me. But there's some parts that are written to the Jews, the children of Israel, Gentiles, and the church of God. So here it says to the church at Corinth, but let's read on. It goes on to say, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Now, maybe we qualify. Do we qualify there? Are you sanctified in Christ? Yes. You've been set apart special for God. And you're sanctified in Him, called to be saints. Now, I'm reading from the King James here, and those words to be are in italics. Now, I don't know what some of the other translations have, but the King James, if there's an italicized word or two, they added it. There's no Greek words that represent the English there, but they want to make it look smooth, I guess, in their grammar. But really, when you're called to be something, you know, you associate with that. I was a lancer in high school. That was the name of my team, high school team, the Lancers. You know, we're doing a football game or something this afternoon, and we got Patriots, and what else? Seahawks. You know, people in Seattle, you know what they call themselves? Seahawks. I'm a Seahawk. They get into it, don't they? You know, I'm with the Bears, or I'm a Packer, or I'm whatever, you know, the Eagles. And they really just, Dodgers. Where's Al? Al's a Dodger fan, right? So, Giants. We associate that with the term that we're called. But here, I want you to realize the text says we're called saints. Not to be saints. We are saints. We're called saints. We are special. Holy. That's what that means. To be a saint means you're holy and special before Him. Okay? So let's continue to read on here. Verse 3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given to you by Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, that in everything you are enriched in Him. How many things are you enriched in? In everything enriched in Him on all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're in wait mode, right? We're waiting for Christ to come back, gather us together. Pretty exciting. God has gifts. You know, we have the gift of Holy Spirit. Every born-again Christian has that, obviously. And there's other gifts that God can give. There's gift ministries. But we want to look forward to Christ coming back and look forward to God blessing us. Who, verse 8, shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse says, God is what? He's faithful. If God says it, He means it. God has integrity. God says what He means and means what He says. He is faithful. All these things we're going to read in God's Word, we can grab onto and get excited about. You know, people get excited about different activities and things that are going on, and the stock market goes up, and I've got this stock, and oh my goodness, you know, I'm rich. What about getting excited about I'm rich in Christ? The spiritual realities. Okay. Now I beseech you, brethren, verse 10. No, let's finish verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called, right? Called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So here, this is one of the things we're looking at, identifying in God's Word, that we've been called into His family, in the fellowship of His Son. Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You know, Corinthians is classified as a reproof, correction, epistle. You know, as a student of the Bible, that we study the Word of God, rightly dividing it, 2 Timothy 2:15, one of the great keys is that all Scripture is what? God-breathed. It's all God-breathed. It's all living words. It's all true. And it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction. All of it is instruction in righteousness, right living. So you can see that flavor as you read the church epistles, the doctrine, especially in Romans. Corinthians has this reproof correction emphasis, and this is what we're seeing here. This encouragement to get the Corinthians of one mind. Corinthians were out in left field. I mean, if we read the rest of this book here, we'd be, oh my gosh, those Corinthians, woo, look out. So, you know, we need a little reproof. You know, don't do this. Stop doing that. But what's important to follow up with it? The correction on how to do it. Get back to right believing. Get back to right doctrine. So, that's what's happening here. For it hath been declared unto me, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you said, I'm of Paul. Hey, I'm of Apollos. I'm of Cephas. Hey, I'm of Christ. I think we even see that today. People say, well, I follow Dr. So-and-so, and Pastor So-and-so is my leader. And we don't... Yes, we reverence those who maybe are in authority, but who do we follow? Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. Yeah, yeah. That's what he's making the point on. And he's really making it adamant about this, right? Verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And he goes on to say, hey, I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I don't know whether I baptized any other. You know, he was a busy man, Paul. So he remembers a few of them, but not everybody. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Okay. This crucifixion is a big deal. And we'll see this start to develop, that he emphasized how important the act of Jesus Christ giving his life, dying on the cross, that would redeem mankind forever. So key. All right. But let's see what he does, all right? He doesn't use the wisdom of man's word. Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Those who are not looking for the truth, they don't care about God. What are you talking about? Some guy dying on a cross. Foolish. But unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. That God would allow his son to die for us, to pay the ultimate price, so that the new birth realities could be evident in any and every believer that believes, okay? Gets confessed with their mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in their heart God raised him from the dead. Wow. Power of God, that's what it is. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Have not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Boy, when you look at the wisdom of this world, it's really messy, messed up. All right? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks or Gentiles seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ what? Crucified. That's the power of God. The crucifixion is so key. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did paid the price. Now, I know the resurrection plays an important role, doesn't it? In this whole redemptive act. But the initial act of the crucifixion, that was so key. That did it. Then God raised his son up from the dead, received that sacrifice, if you will. And then he made available as a result the new birth that we enjoy today. Yeah, wow. Okay. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are what? Called, both Jew and Greek or Gentiles, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. So we're looking at the power of God and the wisdom of God. to tap into his power, tap into his wisdom as we live our life for him. Okay. I love this verse 25. Because the foolishness of God, this really puts things in perspective. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. God at his weakest point is still stronger than any man could ever be. You know, his foolishness is more wiser than man's wisdom. Pretty good perspective, huh? Hey, are we in the right book? Are we studying the right message here? My goodness, we could be doing all kinds of things today, but we're into the word of truth, God's word. Man, oh man, when you think about it, it's pretty heavy. Exciting. Really thrilling. I love it. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen. That's us. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are you in Christ Jesus. Wow. Who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. You see all those ands in there? Now, if I was an English teacher, I'd say, hey, wait a minute there. That's not good grammar. Where's the commas? Got too many ands in there. But the ands are in there on a purpose. It's a figure of speech. It's many ands. I don't know what the Greek word is. Polysyntheton? Thank you. And so when you do that, each point stands on its own. Each point is very important, critical. If you were doing a list of things and blah, 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 and the last thing you put, that last thing you really want to tie into. But we want to see this all work mightily for us. Isn't that amazing here, you know? Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not in excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except or save Jesus Christ and what? Him crucified. Now, I know sometimes, and I used to be like this too, I know sometimes we can look at that verse, and if we just looked at that and had not read chapter 1 and see how important the crucifixion stands out, it's the power of God, we read that, you'd think, well, maybe the crucifixion is only how far they could go. That's how far they need to go. So I see this a little differently than perhaps some of us have been taught, because I look at the context of how important the crucifixion is. He made sure he taught the crucifixion, that they understood the redemption they have in Christ at the cross. The cross is the power of God, the preaching of the cross. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. You know, great humility he's expressing. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Power. That's why I love speaking in tongues, because it's the power of God in manifestation. That you can speak some other language, just boom, 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 like that. And God's right there, boom, boom, boom. It's a miracle. When you look at it from a human standpoint, it's the power of God. We've got 9 manifestations that are evidence of the power of God that we can have in our life and express, utilize. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Demonstrate a power that your faith, your believing, should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in what? The power of God. Boy, when people see the testimony in your life of what God has done, the miracles you have seen where God's power healed you or opened the door for you, my goodness, that really is a great witness. Beautiful witness, the power of God in manifestation. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. Now, we're talking about wisdom here as a subject here coming up, and it talks about the princes of this world. Who is that? Is that Prince Valiant or, you know, prince of some... No, it's the devil, the adversary, devil spirits. Okay, let's move on here. But princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. There is a mystery that God has that really expresses the great wisdom of God in such a big, beautiful way. Let's keep reading. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto whose glory? Our glory. There's a wisdom. There's some information that God had in his heart and mind for you, each one of us. That's a mystery. The princes of this world didn't know it. Boy, if they only knew that. What things that they could do to mess with us. Let's read on. Which none of the princes of this world knew. Okay, these devil spirits, the adversary, Satan, they didn't know it. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Oh my gosh! We have seen how important the crucifixion is, right? It opens the door to a mystery, information God had about you for your glory. And if Satan would have known about it, he would have let Jesus live. He would not have wanted Jesus crucified. Now, how does not that speak volumes on how important it is, this wisdom of God that he revealed? Now, we're familiar with the mystery of God. We've read Colossians 1:27. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? There's other places that indicate that the fullness of Christ, what he did, made available and who we are in Christ, that we're in one body together, Jew and Gentile, all that comes together in this mystery package, if you will. But boy, you got to see how big this is, folks. I didn't write it. There it is. He would not have crucified Jesus Christ. Wow. You know, I don't know if you've seen the movie or program The Chosen. It's been going on for a while. They're getting ready to do the crucifixion scene. They're probably doing it this spring. You know, for me, I'm being open here. I really leaned to the resurrection, that was so key. And it is important. But boy, what Jesus Christ did on the cross to die for us, that act opened the door for the power of God to live in us. And boy, we need to appreciate that. Appreciate that. And then be thankful for the results. We are the results of that in the new birth. Okay. Would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, verse 9. This verse gets misused so many times. Let's read it. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And so many times, unfortunately, I've heard people use this verse out of context and say, well, we really can't know. Eye has not seen, you know, we don't know all the things that God has done. What's the next verse say? But God hath revealed them unto us, how? By his Spirit. By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So we need to see context, all right? Context. God has opened up to us his wisdom, his power via the Spirit of God that we have. Let's read on. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us through God. Man, that's where the wisdom comes in. As we walk by the Spirit, God works within us. He opens up our hearts, our brains, to know some great, wonderful things that we can do. Who we are in Christ, our identity. Things that are freely given to us. Which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They just don't get it, because they're five senses oriented. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? You got any suggestions for the Lord? No. Not me. His foolishness is wiser than whatever I could ever think of or suggest. But look at, it says here, the final words in this chapter 2. But we have the mind of Christ. You know, we have the mind of Christ. Christ said we could do his works, right? And the works I do, you shall do, and greater works. And that power of God can be manifested in a life. That wisdom of God can be manifested. So, in conclusion, we've seen that we've been called of God. You get the point? God's word made it very clear. We're in his family. The crucifixion is huge in light of its role in our redemption in Christ. The wisdom of God is ours to tap into at any time because of the Spirit of God, and his power is available to us. My goodness. And I'm sure you probably saw some other interesting insights as we read through here. So I encourage you to read your Bible. Read through the section. Be aware of context. Okay? Sometimes we take verses just by itself, which is okay. But when we look at the context, it might be even bigger and more instructive. Yeah. So, my prayer is that we can walk fulfilling all that God has made available in Christ, that we have been called to his family, that we recognize the crucifixion, that we recognize we have the power and wisdom of God available to us, and that we recognize these great truths of reality and live them to the glory of God. Okay? Yeah, Lord, thank you for all that you've done in Christ, and that he would just, by free will, give his life and die for us and pay the ultimate price. But we're grateful that you have called us to your family, that we are born again of your Spirit, that we can know the mystery and how big Christ is in us, and that we're in this beautiful body of Christ, all of us, and we can love one another in such a beautiful way. So thank you, Father, for this information, that we can hold on to it in our hearts and live it, and we give you the glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you. Did you enjoy looking at the Word like this? Isn't it kind of neat, exciting, just reading the Word, picking out these gems of truth? Really fantastic. So, well, we're going to have a great week, huh?
Yes.
Christ could come back. Until then, we're going to be beautiful testimonies. and live for Him. What else are we going to do?
What was that cheer that you did?
The cheer?
Oh, Jesus, for something
else. Go, Jesus.
He had a cheer this morning. I thought it was good. Talk about team. The cheer.
I don't know what she... Well, we'll cheer on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the winner, right? All right, have a great week. Bless you guys. Yeah.